same basic message. So frankly, I'm going to miss working on the same network as Peter.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military death toll continues to rise in Iraq, where another four Marines and one sailor have been killed in Anbar province, bringing to at least 96 the number of U.S. service members killed in Iraq this month. U.S. forces are questioning three Iraqis in connection with the disappearance on Monday of an American soldier of Iraqi descent who it's believed was kidnapped while visiting relatives in Baghdad. He is still missing. An unusual protest against the war in Iraq, this one coming from several hundred active duty service members who are speaking out, saying they're fed up with the war and are urging Congress to bring the troops home. The campaign is called the Appeal for Redress from the War in Iraq, and though it's rare, active duty troops are allowed under Defense Department rules to express their opinions without fear of retaliation. In Afghanistan, as many as 60 civilians, many of them women and children, have reportedly been killed during NATO bombing raids in Kandahar province, and that number is expected to go even higher. President Bush today signed the bill authorizing the building of 700 miles of fence along the U.S.-Mexican border. With less than 2 weeks before midterm elections, a new Reuters Zogby poll shows that Democrats hold an 11% lead over Republicans, and of those who define themselves as conservative, only 56% say they intend to vote Republican. Mandatory evacuations are underway near Palm Springs, where a brush fire is burning out of control and where firefighters are being hampered by dry, gusty winds. Israel is denying that two of its warplanes buzzed a German ship patrolling the Lebanese coast as part of the UN peacekeeping force. A German newspaper reports that two F-16s not only flew low over the ship and fired twice, but also activated their infrared countermeasures to protect against rocket attacks. Israel denies the incident ever took place. South Korea has taken its first step in enforcing sanctions against Pyongyang, announcing that it will ban the entry of North Korean officials who are part of their country's nuclear weapons program and will also limit inter-Korean trade and investments. The U.S. and Russia close to an agreement which would allow Moscow to join the World Trade Organization. Folks living or vacationing near Cabo San Lucas are breathing a sigh of relief, escaping serious damage from Tropical Storm Paul, which skirted Baja yesterday as it headed for the mainland. And a new study shows that a college degree does matter. U.S. Census data indicates that Americans with bachelor degrees earned an average of $51,500 in 2004, while those with just high school diplomas earned an average of just under $29,000. This is the Quality News Network. Now 2.5 minutes past the hour. We'll have science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A controversial new study finds that CAT scans can sometimes find tumors in the lungs of smokers that might otherwise go undetected. The Mayo Clinic has released a study showing that a popular anti-aging supplement known as DHEA actually has no clear anti-aging benefits. And NASA has launched a pair of satellites on a 2-year mission to take the first ever 3D images of solar storms. The Commerce Department reports that the median price of a new home fell last month by 9.6%. That's the largest amount in more than 35 years. The median price now $217,000. Today's news follows yesterday's that the average price for an existing single-family home has fallen to $219,000. ExxonMobil reporting third-quarter profits of $10.5 billion. That's the second-largest quarterly profit ever recorded for a publicly traded company. Exxon also owns the record for the largest quarterly profit ever recorded. In the wake of a world worldwide recall of its laptop computer batteries. Sony is reporting a drop of 94% in its quarterly profits. And Walmart's again expanding its $4 generic drug prescriptions, plans to have them soon available in 27 states. Gold is trading this hour at $599.30 an ounce, up $8.50. Silver's at 12.25 an ounce. And light sweet crude, down 7 cents a barrel this hour, trading at $61.33. On Wall Street, all the markets are lower. The Dow down 37 points at 12,097. NASDAQ is at down 7 at 2349. And the S&P 500 down 3 at 1379. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Oh, my God. I'm here. I'm back. It's Thursday. How is everybody doing today? I'm glad to be back. Thanks, Bob, for running the show today and being the blues. Man, I love that song, Sweet Home Chicago. Blues Brothers is one of my favorite movies, and it was the first time I ever heard that. So I'm really glad to be here, even though it is kind of a crappy, drizzly day here in the Windy City, living up to its reputation. We've actually had a nasty cold spell for this time of year. I was watching the news last night, and they said this is the worst, the coldest it's been at this point of the year in like 10 years. So, but, you know, again, I think I mentioned this yesterday. I just like it. I like the cold weather. I like bundling up, getting on a sweatshirt and a jacket and stuff like that, and putting on a hat and wearing gloves, you know. I don't like it in my room, necessarily. You know, because you know when I'm in my room, I like to be a little bit more comfortable and not wear quite so much. But I do like the cold weather, and I do enjoy it when it's cold out. I'm looking forward to the snow. Although I got to get a pair of boots. I need to go out and do that. It's not that I don't have the money to do that. I just been lazy about shopping. Shopping and doing things like that when you don't have a car is always a big pain in the butt. And you know, I don't know anybody with a vehicle, so it's not like I can say, hey, can you give me a lift somewhere? Yo, you going over there? That my roommate's friend who we went out to breakfast with one day, and in their car they had one of those satellite things, the global positioning satellites, where you know you say where you want to go when it shows you a map and it literally tells you directions. And the voice they had was this female voice with a British accent. Turn left here, please. Turn left here. 3 blocks straight, then turn right. And I thought, you know, I said, did they have other voices for that? And you know, I said, yeah, we got some other voices. And I said, what they need is a Brooklyn voice. That's what they need. They need a Brooklyn. Yo, turn here. Turn here. Yo, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? You missed your turn, you stupid schmuck, yeah. That's what we need. That would have been good. Oh, what has been going on? You know, the news has been flying fast and furious. A lot of what people are talking about right now, or at least what I've seen on the blogs, is the whole Rush Limbaugh, Michael J. Fox thing. Now, if you're not aware of this, what happened is that Michael J. Fox did a commercial for a Democratic politician talking about stem cell research. Now, Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's disease. And, you know, if you've seen him lately doing anything, and if you've seen anybody with Parkinson's disease, you know how someone looks, that they're kind of shaky. You know, Janet Reno had it, Richard Pryor, Muhammad Ali, and all these people, you know, they're trying to talk and they're moving, and it's very, very shaky, and it's very difficult for them to move. And what that is, that's a result of what happens when people take their medication. If they didn't take their medication, they wouldn't be able to move at all. They'd be stiff. And Michael J. Fox is apparently shaking quite a bit, you know, in this commercial. And, you know, it really is, it's kind of a pathetic sight to see. I don't mean pathetic in a disparaging way, but it's hard to see someone like that, especially someone like Michael J. Fox, who, you know, has such a reputation for being such a great guy. It's so rare that a Hollywood actor gets that kind of reputation. I mean, there's maybe a handful. Michael J. Fox, Tom Hanks, you know, people who just, despite the ego that you have to be an actor and the type of things that you have to put up with as an actor and the strength of character you need to go through all the rejection and all the things you have to go through, it really is very rare to have somebody with that kind of a reputation. And to make fun of someone for their disease is, of course, the lowest of the low thing. But, of course, that's what the Republicans do, and that's in particular what Rush Limbaugh did, who was basically making fun of Michael J. Fox. And I think crooksandliars.com has a video of Rush doing his show and, you know, in his studio where you can't see him, obviously. But he does have video of it. I guess somebody does it as a TV show. And he's, you know, shaking and you know, and acting like Michael J. Fox and basically making fun of him. And of all people, Rush Limbaugh, who has his own little problems with drugs and stuff, to be making fun of Michael J. Fox for this. I mean, and again, Republicans never attack the issues. They never really seriously speak about the issues. They'll use talking points. And, you know, I saw a commercial the other day where against Tammy Duckworth, saying that, you know, she's for the death tax. And, of course, they never explain what the death tax is. And what the death tax is the estate tax, which is only paid by people like Paris Hilton. At any rate, they never attack the issue. They attack the person. And that's what old Rush was doing, was attacking Michael J. Fox. Just smearing him all over the place. He was acting. He obviously, you know, wasn't taking his meds so he can look more pathetic for this commercial. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the general gist of it. And, of course, it shows a complete lack of intelligence on Rush's part, which is no surprise because he really doesn't have that much to begin with. And Sam Cedar, who was on what show was it that they showed this on? And they had it was Keith Olbermann. And he had Sam Cedar on, and Sam Cedar said, you know, Rush's job is to insulate his listeners from reality. And I can't think of a better way of phrasing it myself, because that's what they do. They insulate their own listeners from reality. And they'll tell any lie, they'll say anything or do anything in support of their cause. There is no limit to how low they will go. They are a bottomless pit of morality that you can keep trying to say, you know, you don't believe that they're going to top themselves, but they turn around and they top themselves every single day. And if it's not making fun of the handicapped or threatening to hit one, like in that other case where it was a libertarian candidate criticized the Republicans' record legitimately. And the Republican said, you know, went up to him and said, you know, if you weren't sitting in that chair, I'd slap your face. And as election gets closer and closer, these guys are getting more desperate and more desperate. But frankly, I don't know what they're worried about. Yeah, I listen to the news and the national polls show that Democrats are 11% up in general. But, you know, I keep saying this and harping on it. And I'm going to continue to harp on it until people get it through their heads. That in regional elections, national polls mean diddly. They mean nothing. These are regional elections. People in New York do not get to vote for congressmen in Alabama. Okay? And with all the gerrymandering that's going on, you know, all these numbers, you know, the Democrats will have supermajorities in a lot of districts, just like the Republicans will have supermajorities in other districts. That it all evens out in a national poll is irrelevant. So I don't know what the Republicans are worried about. I'm still sticking with my prediction that they're going to hang on to Congress. I'm still sticking with that. And if they manage to, and I think I mentioned the Rolling Stone article yesterday, which described the 109th Congress as the worst Congress ever, the 110th, is going to set new lows. It's going to be even worse. It's going to make us wish for the 109. We're coming up on a quarter after the hour. We got to take a little break. Give me a call. Tell me what you think about all this, Mishigash. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm Joe Vecchio. This is the Cup of Joe Radio on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show, back from our Beatle break. The first break is the Beatle break. So we had John Lennon, and then we have Revolution, which is still one of the best political songs ever written. My favorite is still The Who's We Won't Get Fooled Again. I mean, that's still my favorite. Although conservatives have saying that's a conservative song. It's not a conservative song. It's a cynical politician's political song. You know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And unfortunately, we get that. You know, that's why. And again, I get people angry because, you know, they say, well, you're being defeatist and you're quitting on us. And, you know, and I say, look, I just don't have any confidence in the Democratic leadership. Prove me wrong. That's all I'm saying. Prove me wrong. Bitch slap me when the time comes. I'll gladly take it. I'd be happy to take it. I'd be ecstatic about it. Thank you. May I have another? I've been right. As far as the election stuff is concerned, I've been right since 2002. I predicted there wouldn't be serious change in 2002. I predicted that John Kerry would never get into the White House in 2004. I never said he would never get elected. I just said he'd never get into the White House. And the point I'm trying to make is that the Republicans are cheating and that we're not doing enough to stop it. And that we're busy quibbling amongst ourselves and pretending everything is all rosy. I mean, I remember so many posts, and I don't keep these things as records, but I remember so many posts saying, yeah, Kerry's going to win. Oh, looking forward. Oh, we're going to get rid of Bush. Ah. I called it O'Biggin. Oh, boy, Bush is going to get it now. Bush ain't got nothing, man. And part of the reason that Bush is getting nothing, and granted, the Republicans are acting the way they are for a particular reason. They want power. I mean, it's hateful, and it's bad for everybody, whether you're talking about Americans or people around the world, just ask the people of Iraq. But at least you can look at it and say, okay, they're jerks, they're evil, vicious maniacs. That's what they are. That's what they do. Okay? And we're supposed to have safeguards built into our system in order to prevent stuff like that from happening. The safeguards exist within our political system, at least theoretically, in the balance of powers that supposedly exists between the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches. But when you have a one-party state, and when the founding fathers put together the country, they had no concept of political parties, or at the very least, they didn't want them because they saw how they worked in Great Britain. But, of course, you know, once the thing got rolling, we had political parties, right? But there's supposed to be some sort of balance. And while the Democrats, when they were in charge, yeah, they pulled their share of slimy stuff, too, they weren't basically locking the Republicans out of the government completely. Republicans got to sit in and debate on the issues and on the bills and stuff like that, and they got to have their voice heard, and sometimes they won. The Republicans now aren't doing that, and that's to be expected from a bunch of demagogues. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what you expect. But the other balance is supposed to be the free press, who are the watchmen on the walls of freedom. Kennedy, you know, used that in his famous Berlin Wall speech. But, you know, a free press is extremely important to what we do. And Thomas Jefferson said that if he was given a choice between having a country with a press and no government, and a country with a government but no press, he would take the press. Because the government can do things to really seriously mess with people's lives. But the reason why the Republicans are getting away with a lot of the crap they're getting away with it is that the media, simply the so-called professional media, particularly on television, the ones that aren't doing outright propaganda like what Fox News is, and Fox News is propaganda, that's really all it is. It's what was the name of that newspaper in Germany? Der Sturm. And, you know, when the Nuremberg trial comes, the editor and publisher of that newspaper was put on trial, just like the other Nazi leaders. So if the push comes to shove, you know, if I was the people who run Fox News, I'd keep my bags packed just in case something like that happens. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're just as culpable. But this is a bit of news that I got from Media Matters, which is a great website, mediamatters.org, which is run in part by David Brock, who used to be a right-wing hitman and who has turned. And one of the things that they do, of course, is they report how the so-called professional media misappropriates, that's not the right word, screws up the facts. Here I'm a radio show, talk show host and a writer who occasionally can't think of the right word. This is the thing I got from them, and actually it's via Atrios. And the headline is, ABC's Nightline reported that both sides, that is Democrats and Republicans, are airing mudslinging campaign ads, yet Nightline couldn't point to a single Democratic example. Now let me read from the article. It says, in a report on the ad wars of the 2006 midterm elections, co-anchor Terry Moran reported on the October 25th broadcast of Nightline that both sides are playing a serious game of hardball, with mudslinging attack ads hitting below the belt. Moran wondered, how low can they go? Despite Moran's insistence on that the low punches were being thrown by both Democrats and Republicans, the entire Nightline report focused on a handful of controversial Republican commercials. including ads being aired in Tennessee, Massachusetts, and New York. And these ads have garnered wide media attention and have been broadly condemned both for their inaccuracies and their ugly personal attacks, particularly the infamous Bimbo ad. I'm sure you guys have seen this if you've been reading the blogs or any kind of news like that. And it's against Tennessee's Harold Ford, who is a man of color, who's a black guy. And, you know, they got really scummy-looking people, you know. And one guy is, like, you know, dressed up like a real, you know, leather jacket. Look kind of like Jeff Goldblum, actually, in one of his sleazier roles. He said, "Oh, yeah, he takes money from porn guys. I'm all for it." And the one bimbo saying, "Oh, yeah, he's totally cool. I totally like him. Hey, call me. But unfortunately, Moran's report provided no examples of the same type of attack ads being run by Democrats. Nothing that matches the level of distortion and personal attacks that are found in the Republican commercials. And I'm not saying that Democrats are saints, but you know, you can compare the two, and it's such obvious, it's night and day difference. And the Republicans have their own polls knowing that everything is close. But you know what? Karl Rove understands one basic principle that we don't. He understands that 51% of the vote means 100% of the power. There's no nice try in politics. There's no second place. You win, you're the congressman, you're the senator, you're the president. You lose, you're a citizen. And you only have very limited power as a citizen to change the debate. And we don't understand that. And the first step to taking back the country is taking back power. And part of the way you do that is to hit them hard, do what Harry Truman said, hit them hard, never apologize. The second step to do that is that when you do get in power, to do the things that need to be done. And that's where my confidence in the Democratic Party leadership fails. Because what needs to be done is that we need to impeach this president and the vice president, the entire administration, as a matter of fact, the entire Republican leadership and their financial backers ought to be removed from office in any way, shape, or form, apart from, you know, violence. Or outright going there. Although, you know, if it came to that, if it came to fighting in the streets, I'm all for it. I mean, if it gets to the point where it's just anarchy and everything's up for grabs, I got my baseball bat right here. I'm ready. But so long as there's a political option available, you get them out of office, you run them out, you throw them in jail, you put them on trial, a real trial, not a kangaroo court like the Bush people did. If you want to have some fun, you can even use their own rules against them. Use the same law that Bush just passed to declare these people enemy combatants, enemies of America. Toss them in a cell for a few years, and then maybe give them a trial a little later on. Let them see how it feels. Let Rush Limbaugh experience some of the stuff that he just kind of, you know, pisses off, you know. Oh, it's just, you know, kids letting off steam. Let him experience that for a couple of years, and then we'll see if he changes his mind. Pardon me, getting a drink of water. I'm trying to cut down on the sodas, because I'm being told that the sodas are what's causing my my chest pain problems, and I hope that's correct, and that I can cut down on it. I need the caffeine, though, so I need to get some sort of caffeine pills. Especially lately when I've been so busy. And I get so angry about stuff. But gee, you don't think I have a reason to be angry? It's not like I don't have a reason to be angry. Can anybody tell me why I might be so angry? Or am I just a crazy angry Democrat? Oh, God Almighty. And, you know, the press is supposed to be acting as a neutral observer saying, this is screwed up, this is not, but they're not. Talk to me about this. 1-877-443-2366. And we can get into it. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. It's the criminal break here. Cup of Joe Show on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back in a few.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show, halfway through the first hour, and time really flies when you're having fun. And am I having fun? I guess I'm having fun. It's certainly not fun looking at this news. And to continue on with what I was talking about before, and about how the media is not properly playing up Democratic stuff while, you know, bringing up all the Republican lies and stuff like that, or pretending that the Democrats are doing things just as bad as Republicans. They're also giving a lot more free advertisement to Republican stuff than they are for Democratic stuff. And this is another thing from MediaMatters.org. And the Republican National Committee put out an advertisement that invoked the specter of terrorism. Again, this is from the site. In an effort to win voters in the coming midterm elections. Now, the ad was particularly nasty and was given extensive media coverage, particularly by the cable news networks, which replayed the whole ad again and again and again. And the Democratic National Committee have released a new ad, which I saw, which is really great. It's called Stay the Course. And it shows just a small fraction of the times where George Bush and Tony Snow and Dick Cheney and several other administration people, I believe, saying, we're going to stay the course in Iraq. Stay the course. Stay the course. I mean, they had almost a minute of that. Nothing less. Stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. And then you have Bush, you know, doing that interview saying, well, we've never been stay the course. And there's Tony Snow. We've never been stay the course. Just lying. Flat out lying. You know, it's the type of stuff that Jon Stewart talks about almost day in and day out on his show. And it just goes to show, it's a sad commentary on the state of American journalism that these parody shows and the parody newspaper, The Onion, are probably the best news sources in the country. What is that saying about the state of journalism today? What is that saying about it? Media Matters asks, will the news networks give the Democratic ad the same kind of free play time? Atrios has a simple answer. No. Because, you know, us Democrats are crazy. We're all crazy. Let's talk to some crazy people. Dave from California. Come on in. Have a cup of Joe. How you doing?
Oh, really great, Joe. And yourself?
Pretty good. I'm crazy, though. Are you crazy?
Well, it's a time where we have to be crazy. I mean, we're about to be one more time confronted with another outrageous election fraud, and this one is going to hurt and hurt badly. These cons fully intend to do immense harm to the average person, the working people, the middle classes and poor. They flat out plan to devastate us, and the way they plan to hold on to their power is to cheat every way that they can. And you're calling it. I think you're calling it accurately. The question then that confronts us is, what, if anything, can we do about it? You know, they've got the military, they've got the federal police, they've got the National Guard, they've got the courts. You know,
all I can think is that maybe some of these guys will say, no, I'm not going to do this. But, you know, they're taking in. If you've seen some of the people that have in the military, particularly in combat positions, you know the odds are very much against that.
Well, because they're so terribly disinformed, you know. Everybody in the military, particularly over there, they get to listen to the radio stations which are chosen for them. Rumsfeld decides that they should all be listening to Limbaugh and Hannity and whatnot.
Yeah, but they can't get Al Franken, right?
No, I don't suppose. They probably don't even get your station over there, you know. It's people are, a lot of them, misinformed. But I think fewer and fewer, I think it's going to get down to where there will be probably 25% of the people are still going to vote for the Republicans. And,
well, those people are going to vote for them anyway. I mean, as somebody on the blog said, if you cut off their arms and legs, they would crawl their blood-stumped limbs over to the polls to vote Republican. So,
yeah,
nothing you can do about those guys.
It's a certain terribly inflexible, non-thinking type of person that's going to do that. But we, I think, have to come up with a last-minute plan for how to minimize the damage here. And the one that hits me most clearly is we need to let every good candidate for office know, do not concede. Do not resign. If you've been the victim of election fraud and voter fraud, you're going to be. Do not just say the better man won and shake hands and walk away. Do not pull a John Kerry on us, you know.
Right.
That moment has caused so much harm to this country, unthinkable, you know. And he should have known better. I don't know.
He knew what happened in 2000. He saw it, you know. So, he shouldn't have just, well, you know, that's it. See ya. Well, I got all my campaign chest. I'll save it for 2008.
Well, if you're talking 2000, Gore's people actually did file suit, and the Supreme Court sat on it till the last 10 minutes and then issued a ruling that for them to rule on it would do irreparable harm to W.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And then it was too late. There was nothing that could be done. The Supreme Court had selected Bush to run the country.
Yeah, that's the joke I had with Republican supporters who say, yeah, well, Bush won in 2000. I said, yeah, he won 5 votes to 4.
Yeah. Yes, he did. That's exactly what happened. And
do
now
you think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, after that, I mean, when they do recount all of Florida, as best they are able to, Gore won every way they count it. So, still, he's sitting there. He's in there. He's in the White House. And some rule says, however you get in there, lying, cheating, stealing, trick voting machines, whatever, you're there. You've been sworn in. So nobody can do anything about it.
Well, there is something that you can do, but unfortunately, all those answers are like, you know, total anarchy and chaos, people out in the streets, you know, bloodshed. And you know, when Mr. Gore conceded, I think he was trying to prevent a lot of that stuff. Although, quite frankly, the Republicans sent their little thugs down there to try to stop the count. I think we should have counted with some good union people. Because, you know, you look at these Republican thugs, and they're really only good at, you know, diddling little boys and beating up on Parkinson's people. So you get in there with you know, a railway worker or, a good union carpenter type guy, and they'll get their butts kicked. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't have the courage to do that. And sometimes that's what it takes. And I keep telling people that's what it may come down to from time to time. And I'm trying to avoid it. You want to avoid it. I know Bob Kincaid and Guy James and Mark Levine and Dr. Bill and all the people here at Head On Radio, we avoid that scenario. But unfortunately, we're being put into a situation where we don't have any other choice.
Well, let every good candidate for Congress and Senate know, do not concede. This time, fight it out, because the harm that is being done to this country, the harm that this country is threatening to do to the world, is just insurmountable, you know. If we don't turn this around, what is the plight of this country? You're going to have, you know, I think the rest of the world at some point is going to draw a line and say no further. Then you've got W with his finger on the trigger of the nukes talking to the con god. And that's scary. That is.
Well, maybe, you know, the only hope I could think in that case is that you have soldiers who refuse to fire the button. I mean, Bush can give the order, but maybe they'll just refuse to follow it and realize what's going on.
Well,
it's like I read about this aircraft carrier group going into the Persian Gulf, and you know that they want, whether it's just before or just after the election, that they want to bomb the crap out of Iran. And I wonder what happens if the sailors on the ships just say, I'm not pushing the button. This is not, you know, I was so, you know, and I'm a veteran, so I can speak on this. We take an oath to uphold and support the Constitution, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. We didn't take the oath to support George W. Bush. He may be commander-in-chief, but our ultimate loyalty is to the Constitution. And the only thing we can hope and pray for is that some of these sailors start to get it into their heads and say, no, this is wrong, these are illegal orders, and just not push the button. But unfortunately, you know, like I said, I've been in the military, and I know how that, you know, that loyalty thing is played up very strongly. You gave a sworn oath, and it's a very big conflict.
You're trained and disciplined to respond to commands. That's what that marching is all about. So when some commander or commodore says, Ensign, get in your plane, here's your heading, here's your target, the idea of thinking for yourself is not built in. You know,
right.
There are people that do. There are some that say, no, sir, I do not choose to do that. But there'll be severe consequences for that.
Well, you know, sometimes those are the consequences you have to take. You know, if you think something is wrong, well, we've had people who have refused to go back to Iraq and suffered the consequences for that. There's some of those are in prison. And you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, you want to take a moral stand, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, that's one of the things you have to consider when you do that.
Yeah, we took out a full-page ad in the local paper here saying, thank you, Lieutenant Watanabe. I probably pronounced that wrong, but an officer that has the courage to say, no, I will not do that. I will not participate in your criminal war. And I should think
Lieutenant,
that...
Lieutenant Watada.
Good man.
But well, listen, Dave, I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up on a quarter after the hour, quarter to the hour, and we got to take a little break. Thanks so much for calling, and keep listening and keep calling in, and And hopefully we can get some people to listen and understand what the heck we're talking about.
We do what
you
we
know,
can.
Because that's right, exactly. All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes. Again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. Dave was just on. That was a good talk. And I want to hear for more from you. So give me a call. We'll be back. Joe Vecchio, Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Here we are in lovely Chicago. Once again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And once again, I forgot, I got to write a script or do something. I want to say hi to all of my friends out there in the Head On chat room. Go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room link, and you will speak there with some of the more intelligent people out there on the internets, and they always have. And then I believe Dave is a regular on the chat room there. I don't go in there while the show is on for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's mainly technical because I do have some problems with JavaScript. It's just the lack of memory in my computer, and we're working on getting that taken care of. It's not a serious issue, but it does prevent me from going into the chat room. The other issue is that I'm easily distracted to begin with. And if I have to stop and read something for a second, then we have a few seconds of silence. And nobody likes a few seconds of silence on the radio. That's like death. So it's good that they got an overblown windbag like me to put in some time on the network. Because if there's anything I can do, is that I can talk for long periods of time. I've had people tell me, "Breathe! Breathe!"
Oh God, that was a good call by Dave, and he's right. You know, it's they're going to go through extreme levels to keep maintain control of their Congress because they know that it's their asses that are on the line, possibly. Although, again, I don't know what they're afraid of. I think the Democratic leadership is so cowardly that they wouldn't go ahead and prosecute these people. But they know what's on the line. And they know that there's no limits to what they have to do because the bottom line is winning the election. And if there's a close election, now you know, you shouldn't be challenging if you lose 80 to 20, okay, or if you lose 60 to 40. I mean, that's not a challengeable thing. There's no way. Unless there was really, really super obvious fraud going on, like, you know, people shooting people going to the polls, okay? Hang on a second. Let me get a little water here. But, yeah, if it's a close election, challenge it. Push everything. Because, you know, that's what the Republicans are going to do in every close race that they're lose. And I brought this up yesterday, that what they might wind up doing for the election is to just go out and start challenging every single close election and make such a big stink about it that eventually it has to go to an arbitration process, which gets decided by the Congress. And that then the congressman will vote on along party lines to put the Republican in. I'm not saying that's definitely what's going to happen, but, you know, you have to sort of think in these ways because you know that, again, considering that the fact that they're a bottomless pit of morality, that there's no lows to which they can sink. So, yeah, this is definitely, you know, within the boundaries of like, well, maybe what could they possibly do? And, you know, there was some talk, and again, I'm going to talk about this in more detail, maybe in the second hour. One of the things that I've been doing is to write articles and do some research about the Electoral College. And I discovered a few things about the Electoral College that are really kind of surprising to me. And I didn't realize this at the time. I mean, I didn't think about it too much because it's something that, you know, you just go through every year. But according to the Constitution, it's basically up to the state legislatures to dole out the electors in any way, shape, or form. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Electoral College or are confused about how it works, it's really very simple. The president is not chosen by the national popular vote. A president is chosen by electors who are chosen by the state legislatures. And most of the states, not all of them, there's a couple, most of the states, whoever wins the popular vote in that state, whether it's 51% or 60%, they get all of those electors. But the point I want to make is that that decision is made totally by the state legislatures. Okay? That's how it's turned out is another story altogether. The point of the matter is that if the state legislatures got together and passed a law within their state that says the presidential electors are going to be chosen by the flip of a coin, there's absolutely nothing in the Constitution preventing that. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly legitimate. Yeah, I know. I'm giving them ideas. And actually, it's something that some of them brought up in the 2004 election. Some of the hardcore southern states were a lot closer than they would have liked, and some of the heavily Republican state legislatures there were talking about changing the law to just automatically give the electors to George W. Bush. I mean, I don't know if they would use that name specifically, but, you know, to give it to the Republican candidate. Or maybe just, you know, whoever the hell we feel like giving it. And, you know, in the first few elections that we had in this country, there were certain states like New York, I believe, where the legislatures, you know, they didn't even have a vote in the states. They simply chose who was going to be. Of course, at the time, it was General Washington, so there wasn't really much controversy along those lines. So there's any number of little dirty tricks that they can pull if they want. And I'm not saying we should rule this stuff out ourselves. You know, and I talk about the electronic machines, and I say this, and again, this is an open call, because if I could do it myself, I would. I just don't have the knowledge and skill to do that. But if you're a hacker and you're a Democrat and you're an activist and you know how to get into these codes and change things, screw up every election you possibly can. I am openly advocating this. Make it so that Bugs Bunny becomes a senator from Wyoming, that Mickey Mouse is the senator in Michigan. Don't do it towards Democrats. Do it towards something that's so utterly ridiculous. Pick any cartoon character you want. Have Woody Woodpecker in Wisconsin. Donald Duck in Delaware. Just to show that these machines can be hacked. Make it such utterly ridiculous that we throw out the machines completely. Of course, I say that, and what happens is, you know, somebody goes ahead and does that in several states, and the Republicans just declare martial law, put a crown on George Bush, and that's the end of the American Republic. And, you know, that could happen anyway. I mean, whether or not George Bush wants to be, you know, Mr. King, he already believes he's a king. He already acts like it. He'll sign a law, then he'll write a little signing statement saying, well, you know, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to obey the law. The unitary executive is just another word for king. And quite frankly, I think I kind of get the impression that that's what this country was founded to get away from. Now, granted, in Great Britain, the royal family doesn't have any actual legal political power, although they do, I'm certain, wield considerable influence behind the scenes. And, you know, but theoretically speaking, the president in America can't act like a king, and that's exactly what he's doing. And so long as the military continues to support the decisions that he makes, there's not a whole heck of a lot we can do for the moment. And you can only hope that some of our military brothers and sisters out there who realize that a lot of the orders that they're given are illegal will just start disobeying. And I really hope, I really hope that some of the sailors on these ships with the missiles pointing at Iran, when the order comes to drop a nuclear bomb that's going to kill God knows how many people. I mean, we've already killed, according to one report, as many as 650,000 Iraqis. And you would hope that one day that somebody's going to say, no, we're not going to push this button because this is illegal. But I seriously doubt it's going to happen. And it's such a huge conflict for a soldier because you do swear that oath. I swore that oath when I was in. And I was in when Reagan was president. I still had my opinions about the president at that time, but you know what? I kept them to myself because as a soldier, whatever my personal feelings were, I really didn't have the right to air them. And that's, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because, you know that there were a lot of people who were bad-mouthing Bill Clinton, even though Bill Clinton never did anything bad, that bad to a soldier. Bill Clinton never sent a soldier into combat that wound up dying. The only soldiers that wound up dying under Clinton's watch were ones that committed suicide. And don't tell me Somalia. George Bush sent those people into Somalia. Hang on a second. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to keep rehashing that, but I guess every single time until, you know, that nail is firmly planted in somebody's brain that we have to hammer it into your head. George Bush sent the troops into Somalia. The Black Hawk Down thing, while that specific event happened on Clinton's watch, he wasn't the one who put those people in there. And they were part of a United Nations force. Just like they blame Bill Clinton for, was it Ruby Ridge? Where the FBI shot the guy? When it all happened on George Bush's watch, the first George Bush. There are no limits. I mean, they'll blame Clinton for anything, and they'll blame anybody but themselves for all the stuff that's going on. What do you think, Dennis Hastert took any blame about how the Foley scandal played out? I take total responsibility on firing my staff. And George Bush is saying, I'm taking total responsibility. I'm going to put a few American soldiers in jail who were following the orders of their superiors. But they were political embarrassments for us. They were throwing them in the clink. Blame anybody but themselves. The party of personal responsibilities, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the news coming up. Second hour will be starting soon. Man, has it been an hour already? Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Got the news coming up, and we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Network.
is the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. The month of October is one of the deadliest so far in Iraq, where the U.S. military death toll continues to rise. Another four Marines and one sailor have been killed in the Anbar province. That brings the number of U.S. service members killed in Iraq this month to at least 96. U.S. forces are questioning three Iraqis in connection with a missing American soldier of Iraqi descent. It's believed he was kidnapped while visiting relatives in Baghdad. Still no word on his whereabouts. An unusual protest against the war in Iraq, this one coming from several hundred active duty service members. They're speaking out, saying they're fed up with the war, urging Congress to bring them home. The campaign is called the Appeal for Redress from the War in Iraq, and though it's rare, active duty troops are allowed under Defense Department rules to express their opinions without fear of retaliation. In Afghanistan, as many as 60 civilians, many of them women and children, have reportedly been killed during NATO bombing raids in Kandahar province, and that number is expected to rise. President Bush today signed the bill authorizing the building of 700 miles of fence along the U.S.-Mexican border. With less than 2 weeks before midterm elections, a new Reuters Zogby poll shows that Democrats hold an 11% lead over Republicans, and of those who define themselves as conservative, only 56% say they intend to vote Republican. South Korea has taken its first step in enforcing sanctions against Pyongyang, announcing that it will ban the entry of Northern Korean officials who are part of their country's nuclear weapons program. They'll also limit inter-Korean trade and investments. The U.S. and Russia are close to an agreement which would allow Moscow to join the World Trade Organization, something Russia has wanted to do for 13 years. Negotiators now say they hope to have a deal by the end of this month, but if not, then by November the 7th. Folks living or vacationing near Cabo San Lucas are breathing a sigh of relief, escaping serious damage from Tropical Storm Paul, which skirted Baja yesterday as it headed for the mainland. A new study shows that a college degree does matter. A U.S. Census data indicates that Americans with bachelor's degrees earned an average of $51,500 in 2004, while those with just high school diplomas earned an average of just under $29,000. This is QNN.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 215 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
A controversial new study finds that CAT scans can sometimes find tumors in the lungs of smokers that might go undetected. The Mayo Clinic has released a study showing that a popular anti-aging supplement known as DHEA actually has no clear anti-aging benefits. NASA has launched a pair of satellites on a two-year mission to take the first ever 3D images of solar storms. The Commerce Department reports that the median price of a new home fell last month by 9.6%. That's the largest amount in more than 35 years. The median price now $217,000. Today's news follows yesterday's that the average price for an existing single-family home has fallen to $219,000. ExxonMobil reporting third quarter profit of $10.5 billion. That's the second largest quarter profit ever recorded by a publicly traded company. Exxon also owns the record for the largest quality profit ever recorded. In the wake of a worldwide recall of its laptop computer batteries, Sony is reporting a drop of 94% in its quarter profits. Light sweet crude oil at $61.04 a barrel. That's down 36 cents. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 16 points at 12,119. NASDAQ up 1 point. The S&P 500 is flat. And there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes. Pass.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question, hey, you gonna eat that? And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury, here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. And if you are listening in at work, it is noon, it's in Eastern. Noon in Central here, 1 o'clock in East. But if you're listening in on your lunch hour at work and you're slacking off from work to listen to my show, good for you! Good for you! I highly encourage it. I highly encourage slacking off at work as much as possible because even though I know it's an extreme, radical position, I completely favor laziness at the workplace. I should talk because I work my butt off on my job. I'm very focused about what I do. The only things I really get mad about is when things get disorganized. But I openly encourage slackness at the job because, quite frankly, I am of the opinion that an overwhelming majority of corporations in this country are simply stealing from you. So I listened to the news. I didn't catch it quite the first time, but I listened to the second time, and the soldiers protesting in Iraq. I'm like, oh my God, that's tremendous. I've never heard of that happening before. I'm sure maybe it has. Maybe it has. I've never heard of that before. So maybe there's some hope. Maybe there's some hope that the American soldier will realize that the orders coming from their superiors are illegal orders. Maybe there's some hope after all. And while I, you know, certainly sympathize with the situation, granted, I was not a combat soldier. I'm not going to say that I was a great, you know, warrior or anything like that. I did my duty as well as I could. I wasn't in a combat position. I was in electronic repair. So, you know, it's not like I was going to go out there and be a grunt. You know, and not that I didn't want to, it's just that I really didn't have the skills for that. But I really want what's best for all the soldiers. And you know, if you're going to fight, and if you have to fight, I'm all for it. I'm not a pacifist. I'm not a person who says you should never fight at any single time. If there's the need, if there is the absolute need to defend yourself, you defend yourself and you fight hard. You kill the enemy. If you have no other choice. There was an episode of MASH where they had a bunch of guys come in and their lieutenant had just been shot. And they really liked their lieutenant. He was a young guy who was one of the rare lieutenants that seriously listened to the needs and concerns of his troops. Because, you know, if you've been in the military and you regardless of what type of service you're or what type of field you're in the military, what was that? What is it? What is that? I'm sorry. Somebody's talking to me. I'm sorry. There was a sniper that shot this lieutenant. Okay, and the lieutenant was a particular favorite of the troops, and he was one of those, you know, rare lieutenants that actually listened to his command. Because if you've been in the service, whatever branch, you you know that a lot of times these officers have no clue about what's going on, okay? And, you know, generally a danger to their troops, which is why sometimes the Marines scrag their officers. It's been known to happen. Intentional friendly fire. At any rate, this guy was shot by a sniper, and they managed to catch the sniper. And there was a possibility that the lieutenant was going to be paralyzed. The doctors didn't know yet because he had gotten grazed in the spinal cord, but there wasn't any actual damage, but it just might have been like a shock, and it could wear off. And the soldiers were ready to kill the sniper right there in the hospital. And the doctors were trying to stop him and say, you know, if we had just done our jobs, you know, in the first place, this guy would be dead already. And I said, yeah, that's true. And when you're out there in the combat field, that's one thing. But to kill someone in cold blood like that, that's just murder. And the soldiers who were doing the torturing, the ones who especially know that what they're doing is immoral by any standards, I do not support those soldiers. The soldiers out there are doing their jobs to the best of their ability, and they're getting screwed over by their superiors. Just like in the workplace, for the most part, people are getting screwed over by their employers. And I saw an article, where was it? Where did I see that article? Was it in Bart? It was from DemocraticUnderground.com. I got it for, by way of Bart Cop. And I had the news that the stocks are up to like 12,000 points. But I'm like, what does that mean? Are we seeing any of that? I'm certainly not making any more money. I'm still scraping by as it is. And I'm in the same position of a lot of other working people. And yes, I'm one of those non-college graduates that makes an average of $29,000 a year. Actually, I've never made that much money. So, and I'm in the same position as a lot of other people. I mean, I go to the fast food joints and the little shops here and there, and I see people making $6-7 an hour, working a lot harder than I do. And that's one thing I've noticed in the workplace, how the more money you make, the less physical work you have to do. I think the physical jobs should pay a lot more. I think working at McDonald's, you should be making $15 to $20 an hour, because quite frankly, that is some hard work. Have you seen how those people work and the stuff that they have to put up with? Trust me, those are not minimum wage jobs as far as the skills that you need or the hard work you have to put in. Maybe the skills aren't that great, but it is hard work. And even the managers at those places sometimes don't make a ton of money. You know? So again, you know, at the beginning of the show, like I said, if you're listening and at work, good for you. Slack off. Slack off. And if you hate your job, quit. Don't be fooled by this whole attitude that, you know, well, don't be afraid to quit. Have the courage to try to want something better out of your life. And I know a lot of people are so afraid of losing their job. They have there's such a stigma attached to not having a job in this country. And I understand, because I've been through it. I've been out of work. There were times when I've been out of work for 18 months. I think until I moved up here to Chicago, I was actually out of work for 2 out of the 3 years before I moved up here. And you know what? I'm here. I survived. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. You'll find something better. And now that I moved up here to Chicago, things are starting to turn around for me a little bit. Not that I'm going to be living in a big mansion with a Cadillac and a Mercedes and then the $400 pair of socks, first sink, and an electric dog polisher, gasoline powered turtleneck sweater, and some dumb stuff, stealing from Steve Martin. Not that anything like that is going to happen. But the truth of the matter is, if you hate your job, quit. It's not worth making yourself miserable. And if you work for a company like Walmart in particular, one of the evil companies, and there is no company that's more evil than Walmart as far as I'm concerned. They might as well paint it red and stick a couple of horns on every store. Quit. Leave. Because you know something? All the shareholders, all the stockholders, all the executives at Walmart, they couldn't make a penny if it wasn't for you. And the only thing that keeps them afloat is a government that works for them as opposed to working for you. We're coming up on a break. Give me a call. Talk to me. I need more talkers so I don't ramble on. I need somebody to talk to. Somebody to sit around. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. It's the Puffy AmiYumi break. We'll be back in a bit. Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. We're a quarter of the way through the second hour. Man, the time flies. Man, the time flies. I love that song, too. Billy Joel, Allentown, one of the great working class songs ever written. Let me continue on with what I was talking about before, about how basically you're being screwed over by your employers. And then the article that I mentioned before I started rambling on, that was, I got via BartCop from DemocraticUnderground.com, and I want to read this paragraph real quick. It says, as working families consider whether the economy has been good or bad to them in the two weeks before the elections, they're not feeling as rosy about the economy as Wall Street or Mr. Bush. According to the EPI, working family real income has dropped by $3,000 since year 2000. And while jobs are paying less than inflation-adjusted wages, job creation And while jobs are paying, I'll read this right, and while jobs are paying less in inflation-adjusted wages, job creation for September was the weakest since Hurricane Katrina. The pie being baked by U.S. workers grows bigger each year, while the slices they get grow smaller. I love that phrase. We're working harder. We're being more productive, and I hate that statistic, productivity. More than any other statistic I hear in economics, I hate that. We're being more productive, and yet we're getting less for it. And why is that? Because you have a government that actively favors the corporations and doesn't give a damn about the workers of this country. Lincoln said it. Teddy Roosevelt repeated it. There is no capital without labor. Nobody makes a penny without the work and sweat of the people on the bottom. And I've never said that the people on the bottom should get more money than the people on the top or should be able to live in rich mansions. No. If you work for a living, whether you're working in McDonald's slinging burgers and fries or you're a construction guy out in the street, you should be able to earn enough money with your salary to pay your rent, pay your bills, and still be able to put away stuff on the side. You shouldn't work and be going broke slowly. You know, I once said that you lose your job, yeah, and you lose all that income, and it's like you're being dropped off a cliff. But sometimes when you're working, you're still going downhill. You just get yourself a little stroller or something where you got the brakes on and you're just going a little bit slower. But the point is you're invariably going downhill. You work hard, you do the right thing, and you fall behind. And that's not right. Hang on a second. A little more water. I got a drink or I get dry and I start hacking. You don't want to hear me hack away on the phone, on the air. Hey, give me a call, somebody. It's in a slow calling day, 1-877-443-2366. It's weird because I've been doing the show all week and filling in for Dr. Bill, and again, I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. If you tune in expecting to hear Dr. Bill, he is filling in for Bruce Birch, who's got some other issues going on and that he's got to take care of, and I am filling in for Dr. Bill. Normally I'm only on Mondays and Fridays, beginning of the week, end of the week, which is kind of the way I like it, but I don't mind doing the daily show. But today I haven't been getting as many calls as I have been. And in fact, I was waiting for a call from Sarge, who's down there in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, where people are really feeling the effects of the Bush administration policy. You know, and I've talked about the apathy of the American voter. And a lot of it is because a lot of them just don't think that politics plays a part in their lives. And that's just bull. Politics plays a huge part in your life. Who's running the show and for whom they're running it is a big issue. And democracy is hard, ladies and gentlemen. Democracy is not easy. Yeah, I know. Don't give me that crap about republic. I know what I'm talking about. We're a democratic republic, okay? We're not a pure democracy. A pure democracy was where everybody would vote upon everything. Where the representatives of the government wouldn't even really be representatives so much as they'd be executives. The people would vote on everything. But we live in a democratic republic, okay? But you know something? It's still hard. Because we have to work to choose the right people to represent us. And the foundation of all is the idea of self-rule. The idea that we believe that we are the ones that are best capable of determining what's best for our lives. And it may sound like a very common sense sort of thing, but you know what? For the vast majority of American history, it hasn't been that way. I mentioned that I did some research on the Electoral College, and I got to read some of the transcripts of the Constitutional Convention. And I compared that with a book that I read recently about the Byzantine Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire, in other words. And if you read through the history, it's really nothing more than a history of who killed who to become emperor, who in turn was killed by somebody else, who they declared war on, or how many religious people they converted. And there's really nothing more to it, how much territory they conquered. And, of course, the particular author is all the while bemoaning, oh, if only the true Christians would do this. Oh, he was a jerk, but he was a true Christian. Oh, for crying out loud. good or bad, the philosophy of the United States is that we are best primed for making these decisions. And I'm best primed for going on a little break here so we can get some PSAs out and pay a little bills. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I certainly want to hear what you have to say. This is Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show for the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be back.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, the Horn.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Welcome to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head-On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
And this is Joe Vecchio and the Cup of Joe Radio Show for Thursday. Last half hour before the before we have to go and before we turn things over to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine. How's everybody doing out there? Please give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. I got bad breath today or something? We had Dave from California calling earlier. I like to talk to people. I like to have conversations with people. And you know, I know I need an emailer. I'll get it out. Rented Lips. An emailer told me I need to get more guests on the show, and that's true. And I like having guests, and I need to get people who are pushing books and things like that. And there's some people I'm looking into. It's been a busy week for me this week. Again, I don't normally do the show every single day, and I do have a regular job. So when I say I'm the voice of the working man, I'm not kidding you. I have to go to work right after I finish the radio show here. I have to run in the shower real quick and get changed and get out of here so I can get to work on time. So, I'm going to get some more guests and I'm going to get some people. I've been wanting to get Professor Juan Cole on. He was on my show when I was doing pre-recorded, so I can talk to him about, you know, the Iraq situation. And it's just utter chaos there. And it was all so totally predictable. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to keep bringing up the statement that those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it. And we haven't learned anything. We didn't learn anything from Vietnam. You would have thought after that, after Vietnam, that we would have, you know, started to rethink this stuff. But, you know, the same kind of forces that drove us to that war still exist in this country. I mean, it just goes from generation to generation. And they've been building for the last 30 years, they've been building a massive propaganda machine. And propaganda is the only way they can survive, because if people really knew and understood what was going on, the fact that their livelihoods, that their freedoms were just going to be stolen under the pretense of safety and security, they wouldn't go along with it at all. And we've reached a point in this country, it's just over 200 years, where historically speaking, republics tend to turn into empires. And there's no question that if America turns into an empire, that you know, it could even conceivably last a lot longer. I mean, the Roman Empire lasted far longer than the Roman Republic did. If you count the Byzantine Empire, which ended in 1453, the Roman Empire lasted 1,400 years, 1,500 years. And the Roman Republic was around for maybe 200 or 300 years before that. But, you know, reading in the history, you know, you read about how, you know, as the change was going about, how politics was getting nastier and nastier. And part of the reason for that was Rome was getting much bigger and much richer, because its military was so good and it was conquering more territories. And because it was getting richer, you had more people looking to get power so that they can control this money. And that's what we have in the 109th Congress. According to Rolling Stone magazine, the worst Congress ever. These guys are nothing but thieves and liars and other sorts of criminals, perverts. They hardly do any actual governing. The article I read was just so completely damning. They basically let the president run everything. They don't even give the Democrats a chance to debate on the laws. They just push everything through. They put things in at the last second. They take bribes. And they're hyper-partisan. I mean, you know, when you call people who are opposing to you just the enemies and been doing it for years with no actual evidence behind it, and you get people who listen to these propaganda shows like Rush and like Hannity and like Bortz, and you portray everything like it's a big culture war, that guys like me are out to get you, which I'm not, then that's what you're going to have. And the 109th, then they're basically just stealing you blind. I mean, never mind what their actual salaries are. These guys are making it big from bribes and other illegal activities. And, you know, if the Democrats are shell-shocked, it's because like most decent people, and I know that they're decent people, even though they're, you know, they have their own ambitions and they're not perfect, they're not angels, but for the most part, they're not willing to sink to the same kind of levels. And when you're not willing to sink to the same kind of levels, sometimes you suffer for it. That's the plain truth. And I know people out there, you know, are saying that we shouldn't be like them. Well, that's not entirely true. There's no reason we can't be as aggressive as they are. We don't have to lie. We don't have to cheat. When I advocated somebody hacking the vote, I don't say that we should hack it for Democrats. I'm saying we should hack it to get rid of the machine so that we can have a fair vote. That could, of course, like I said, backfire. They could just declare martial law. That would just be, there was an article in the Washington Post by Amy Goldstein talking about how there's already a lot of states reporting that they're going to have massive problems with the voting. And most of these places, of course, have the electronic machines. We have that here in Illinois. And I'm ashamed to say this, and I'm going to admit it openly, because, you know, I only moved here just recently, and I've been extremely busy dealing with my own personal situations. I haven't had yet time to register to vote, so I'm not going to be able to vote in 2006. So I apologize for that, because I really know it's my duty. But, you know, let's face it, I was up here. I had a very small place to stay. I had to find a job. I had to find an apartment. And I'm dealing with, you know, very little money. It's a little better now, you know, but the point is that I never had the opportunity to go in. I haven't even gotten my driver's license changeover yet. I need to get that taken care of. But it's all, you know, it's all stuff that I need to get to when the opportunity presents itself, and the opportunity simply hasn't presented itself. So in lieu of actually casting my vote, I'm doing this. I'm keeping doing this. And but I encourage people to go out there and vote anyway, whether they think their vote is going to count or not. But my point is, when you see the cheating, you got to do something about it. It's not being a quitter. It's not being a defeatist. It's recognizing that the other people are cheating. And ignoring that is quitting. Ignoring the fact that these people are going to steal anything they possibly can, including your freedoms, just for a few dollars more. Ignoring those issues, that's quitting. Because, you know, I can't do a damn thing by myself. I can sit here and say all sorts of things, and you know, maybe a couple of people will listen and do them. But I don't have any kind of real political power to make changes. And sometimes the only way you're going to get the political power is to go out there and take to the streets and do what needs to be done, not just march and hold signs. And I wonder what's going to happen if we get to the point where all the polls are talking about is this huge, crushing Republican defeat, and then they turn around on 2006 and they won 51% of the vote in races where it had been a 12 to 13 point lead. What are you going to do then? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to Diana from Washington. Diana, come on in. Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
Well, hi there. What's your name again?
Joe.
Joe? I'm just kidding.
What did you call? Joe, a wrong number or something?
No. Hey, Paisan. I wouldn't do that to you. Hey, I was just going to say I live here in Washington near Fort Lewis, which is a huge base. And yesterday when I was at the store, I was leaving, and I saw a big, beautiful, strong, elegant-looking soldier leaving the store, and I thought, I'm going to talk to him. So I went up to him, and I said, excuse me, sir, I have to ask a soldier something. And he was very polite, very sweet, and it just broke my heart because I was thinking about him having to go back over there. But I asked him if he'd been to Iraq, and he said yes. And I said, well, you know, all the bad news we're getting, and frankly, I said, I've been against the war from the beginning, but I said I support the troops, just like it's just obvious a person does. But I said, what do you think of this war? I mean, you've been there, and am I right in saying this is ridiculous, that we are killing innocent people and we're killing our own soldiers? And maiming our own soldiers terribly. I guess that Rammstein, I told him, Rammstein is it, in Germany, the hospital?
Rammstein, right.
They said they're the worst wounds, especially from these blowing up these Jeeps or whatever they're called, Humvees. And they're the worst wounds they've ever seen since even Vietnam didn't have the kind of wounds that we're getting because the metal bakes into their skin and it just fries them. And he said, yeah, he said that it's terrible, but he said it is getting old, he said. Those were his words. Now, my husband works in a bank up here, and he said that, you know, these soldiers are not allowed to give their opinions, really. So I think that trying to be careful not telling me. He was a master sergeant, and, you know, the thing about it is mothers have this thing. I'm a mother, and I just feel that these young men are being just sent there as cannon fodder, and I think the women are going to turn this vote. They are. It's not just going to be like today on Ross Story. They had an 11-point lead, the Democrats, in the Reuters-Zogby poll. And Eleanor Clift, I watched her on YouTube, and she said that, you know, people have just had it. And I think that's the truth. I think the women especially are going to see these young people and these mothers and babies in Iraq, and they're going to get out there and vote. And my mother's Italian, by the way, and she raised six beautiful children, good kids, and I had two brothers in the Navy. And, I mean, this whole thing is just a joke. And can I make a comment about another thing? I know you haven't been able to say a thing. That's how Italians are, aren't they?
No, no, that's okay. It's better for me.
I'm just new to this your station. But anyhow, I just wanted to call and talk about that. I want people to go up to soldiers and ask them and give them their... I, of course, shook his hand and said, thank you for your service. I know you're brave, and I'm humbled by that. But, you know, the soldiers need to be able to talk because you can imagine the stress that they're feeling. I could even see the way he was adjusting his, you know, that beret and trying to look so soldierly. It kind of made me feel bad, too, because he doesn't have to put on an act, but in a way they're telling people probably that when they are talking to the public, they probably have to put up this kind of front. But that's all that Bush has been since day one. He's just a big front. A front man who doesn't have a brain. But, anyhow, that's how I think we're going to win. I really do.
I hope so. I certainly hope, you know, and I keep talking about, you know, what I believe is going to happen. It's certainly not what I hope is going to happen, you understand. You know, I'm not saying that we have to do this, but, you know, sometimes you have to reach bottom before you can start clawing your way back up.
Do what?
Know?
You mean mess with the machine?
Oh, yeah.
No. Come on. We aren't going to do what the scumbags do.
No. I've never said mess with the machine. No. You misunderstand. I'm not saying mess with the machines to let the Democrats win. I'm saying let's elect Donald Duck in Delaware as senator of Delaware. Let's elect Mickey Mouse as mayor of Michigan. Let's
do
something.
Don't throw your vote away. And by the way, I've worked in many polling stations, and if you cannot vote, you should go up to the... Go to the office in person, and sometimes you can vote. You can register here in Washington, I think, up until 2 weeks or a week or so before if you go into the office. So you should go into the Chicago or wherever you live. Do you live in Illinois? Is that it?
I live in Chicago.
Okay, go into the registrar's office in Illinois and find out if you can still register late.
Well, I can do. I'll do that, and I'll try to get it taken care of. You know, but the thing about it is, and again, I want to point out, I agree with you. Every vote should count, but the problem is, every vote is not being counted. You know, with the machines are cheating. The Republicans are cheating.
Yeah, but Tom Harbin said that if 5 million of us get out there, and more than the Republicans, I mean, more than the Democrats usually turn out. Let's put it that way. If 5 million more, and let's pray that the Creator or whoever's in charge of this mess we call Earth has good weather on that day and no blizzards or anything like that, that let's hope that the Democrats really turn out, because that's the most important thing. And don't worry about the machines for that day, and don't throw your vote away with Donald Duck. Even if it's
I'm not saying
dog catch.
No, you misunderstand. I'm not saying that we should go out and vote for Donald Duck. I'm saying that somebody with the computer skills should go out and hack every machine to vote for Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny or some ridiculous character just to show that the machines can be hacked. Go out and vote for a Democrat,
but
obviously.
Not on the day
go
of
out and
the
vote
election.
Against...
You don't want to make it worse than it is, but I've got a call coming in. But, hey, I really like you guys, and, hey, aren't you all happy about Mike Malloy coming back?
We're very ecstatic about that.
Yeah, big time. Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Okay, take care.
Ciao.
Diana from Washington. Okay, we got a break coming up. You got last chance to call 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We're almost finished. Man, time flies. Time flies when you're doing the show. Thanks, Diana, for calling up. I don't necessarily agree with you because I think, quite frankly, it's time for drastic changes. But, you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I really, really do. Okay, take a break. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, here we are. We're in the home stretch here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Just a few more minutes. Coming up on the Head On Radio Network, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine. And Mark's a great guy, and he's got a great show. And, of course, later on tonight, there's Bob Kincaid, and Dr. Bill is still filling in for Bruce Birch after Mark Levine. No, we got Mark Levine, Guy James, Dr. Bill, and then Bob Kincaid. Is that right, Bob? Have I got the schedule right? I think so. That sounds right. But Mark Levine is coming up next, and you know, he's got a great show planned for us, and maybe we can get him to call in to see what he got. Yeah, speak of the devil, Mark showed up here. He said, "Let me get his pitchfork." Right, exactly. My pitchfork. I love that Guy James commercial where the voice starts going satanic on us. Just as the commercial goes along, because you know and the sad truth is, having lived in the South and having had face-to-face contact with a lot of the hardcore religious right down there, they really, really do believe that people like me are agents of Satan. And you know, quite frankly, Satan's never showed up to me and says, "Hey, I'll give you something." You know, if he was going to do anything, you'd think I'd be getting more money or something like that, you know. Why do the wicked prosper? If I'm that wicked, how come I'm not prospering? Oh, man. It's like, you know, being Sicilian, every now and then when I'm at a job, someone says, "Hey, aren't you in the mafia?" I said, "If I was in the mafia, would I be working here? Huh? Huh?" God almighty. You know, it's so hard. And Diana, that was a great call. By the way, I'm very familiar with Fort Lewis. I used to be up in that area. I was at the Defense Language Institute out in Monterey, not far from Fort Lewis out there. And I used to read stories about that. They used to have, and I'm not sure if it's still that way now, they used to have a serious problem with housing there, because there wasn't enough on-base housing. And if you know anything about that area of the country, that's some of the most expensive area to live in the world. It really is. It's very expensive to live out there. And if there isn't enough on-base housing, you know, a soldier and his family, if they're married and they have kids, you don't live in the dorms. You live either on-base housing or you rent your own place, right? And they simply weren't making enough money as military people to afford these rents. And some people were living in tents. And they had one really particularly bad situation where one kid who felt so bad about his family situation actually committed suicide, thinking that, you know, his family would be better off if they didn't have to feed him. And that was, of course, again, under Mr. Reagan. And the Republicans hate soldiers, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care what anybody tells me otherwise. Republicans hate soldiers. You look at all the money that's being thrown away and wasted in Iraq, and the injuries that Diana mentioned that are caused by, you know, the Humvee damage. And part of the reason that's being caused is that the Humvees aren't properly armored, and the other reason is that the soldiers aren't properly armored. And the reason that why the soldiers aren't properly armored and the Humvees aren't properly armored is because that the money that's supposed to be going to that sort of stuff is going to Halliburton and Bechtel. That's where the money's going. Do you think it's going to the soldiers? Do you think they're getting better conditions? Do you think they're getting the tools that they need to do their job? The CEO president operating the government like the CEO of a company. You've worked in places. Do you always have the right tools that you need to do your job? I was a manager for a little photo lab for a little while. I had three people under me. And I always made it very clear to them that my job was to make sure that they had the tools that they need to do their job, so that they could do their job and not worry. But I worked in bunches of places. Bunches of places. Where the tools that you need to do your job are simply not there, or there's not enough of them. So you have to fight and scrap with your fellow workers just in order to get the tools that you need to do your job. And you know what? Some of those people love it. Some of those bosses love that. Because that puts you in a position where you can show how hard you want your job so that they know who's more easily controlled. Okay? And that's exactly what they're doing with the soldiers. They've had families that had to have yard sales to raise money so soldiers can buy their own body armor. And they had one situation where a guy who was working in a guard unit used to work for a fire department, I think it was, and he knew that they had a bunch of older armor vests at the place. Was it a fire department or police department? It doesn't matter. And he called up to get some of the armor over so that they could put it in their Humvees, right? And the Pentagon found out about it and nixed the deal because it made them look bad. Republicans hate soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, just like Republicans hate working people. And I appreciate Diana's honesty, but you know what? I still believe what I believe. I think things have to get worse before they can get better, because I really don't think it's sunk in to a lot of Americans right now. We've got, like I said, Mark Levine will be coming up here in just a few minutes, and he will have a special guest with him from the Stephen Gordon from the Libertarian Party will be joining him, and Mark's going to have a great show there. And if I could, I would listen into that, but I will be on the train on my way to work. So, and all that. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to that. What am I saying? I'm rambling again, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm rambling guy. It's getting over, and I'm just kind of filling in the last few minutes here before we have to go. What else was I going to say? You know, it's just getting back on the Republicans hate soldiers thing. It's just... the way it is. You know, and I was talking to my roommate about the whole Iraq situation, and we're talking about Fallujah in particular. And the whole reason that whole Fallujah disaster happened was because a few mercenaries went out there playing cowboy, shooting stuff up, acting like jerks, and the people there caught them and gunned them down. And good for them, as far as I'm concerned. Because these were not U.S. soldiers, people. These were just some mercenaries. And because of that, we bombed an entire town into rubble, an entire city. There were several hundred thousand people who lived in Fallujah. And by the time we were finished, there was less than 10% of that. And as far as I know, the place still is a pile of rubble. I really don't know for sure. We're coming up on the end here. I'm just waiting for a signal from Bob to say I should start wrapping up. To be perfectly honest, because it's the last couple of minutes, and I don't want to get into a big, long screed. Oh, God, here we go. That's it, finally. Sorry about that, Bob. I'm just trying to make sure. Bob and Mark Levine are yakking at each other in the background there. Mark Levine is coming up here on the Head-On Radio Network, then followed by Guy James, Bruce Birch, Dr. Bill filling in for Bruce Birch, and then Mr. Kincaid himself from Head-On Radio. Okay, that's it for me. Again, I'm Cup of Joe. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Bob. Thanks to Agnes. Thanks to everybody here at the Head-On Network. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society. And for everybody for all the support. Until tomorrow. Again, the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine is next. I'm done. All of you, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? A pot of scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Thank you.
of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred, feed me a fork of Frank, and one more helping of Dick, lay it on nice and thick, open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam? But don't give me no mo, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. From Moscow, word that a cargo spaceship carrying water, food, and supplies to the International Space Station is having problems docking, but a mission control spokesman says there is no danger to the crews of either the station or the spaceship. President Bush today signed a bill which authorizes the building of 700 miles of fence along the U.S. and Mexico border. Four more Marines and one sailor have been killed in Iraq's Anbar province, bringing to 96 the number of U.S. military killed this month in Iraq, making it the deadliest month for American service members in a year. By the time the month ends, it could be among the deadliest of the war. Three Iraqis are being questioned in Baghdad in connection with the disappearance on Monday of an American soldier of Iraqi descent who is believed to have been kidnapped while visiting relatives who live in the city. He has not been seen since. Afghan government officials say that at least 60 civilians, many of them women and children, were killed during NATO bombing raids in Kandahar province earlier this week. If confirmed, the deaths would be the highest number of casualties caused by Western forces since that war began in 2001. The UN General Assembly trying again today to reach a consensus on which country should fill the remaining vacant seat on the Security Council, a seat earmarked for a Latin American country. There have been 41 votes so far, making this the third longest vote in UN history, but no winner yet between Guatemala and Venezuela. Venezuela had proposed that Bolivia be considered in its place, but because of the close ties between the Bolivian government and Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, that idea has received lukewarm support. The UN Food Agency says millions of people in southern Africa face food shortages because rich countries have failed to make good on their financial pledges. The shortfall is more than $60 million. A German newspaper is reporting that two Israeli F-16 fighter jets buzzed a German ship patrolling the Lebanese coast as part of the UN peacekeeping force there. Not only flew low over the ship, but fired it twice. Israel denies that the incident happened. A Danish court today ruled that the Prophet Muhammad cartoons, which sparked worldwide riots when they were published in a Danish newspaper earlier this year, were not intended to harm Muslims. Seven Islamic groups filed a defamation suit against the newspaper's publisher, but today the Danish judge dismissed that suit. A blizzard warning is in effect from Colorado.